The peace that comes from prayer. This is our final, our fourth part in our four-part series on prayer. And it's about the peace that comes from prayer. Now, if we didn't get peace from prayer, I guess what would be the sense in praying? Right? If God
gave us the tool, the weapon, the privilege of prayer, and there wasn't a certain
You're right. I ought to know. She's my wife. Thank you, Brent. Yes, ma'am. 99.9% of the time. On the off chance I'm right, it's usually because I'm wrong at first, and she's just like, okay. Okay, never mind. But if we didn't have the privilege, the weapon, and the ability to pray that God gave us, if He didn't give us that, for one reason and one reason alone, I don't know why we would have it, except for this: peace, to give us peace. We get anxious, we get upset, we get worried, we get concerned. Worries is not a good word to use, I guess, because God doesn't want us to worry, does He? He tells us several times in Scripture we shouldn't worry, should we? But we do anyway. And what do when we worry? We either get agitated, upset, or either we pray. Or we get agitated, upset, and then we pray. But if we don't get a sense of peace about the item we prayed about, then what's the sense in praying about it? If we can't have a peace about the item we prayed about, knowing that God has it in His hands, has it in control, then why are we praying? What kind of confidence do we have in our God then? I ask you. If we don't have peace in our God, that He can handle our concerns, our requests, our needs, our pleas, then why do we give them to Him? If that doesn't give you peace to hand them over to Him, then why do you give them to Him? I want to ask you that now. I'm asking myself that. Because if you're still anxious about the things you prayed about, then did you really give them to Him? Or do you really know the God that I know, or know the God that is in the Bible? Or do you need to know God better? Is there something about God you don't trust? Is there something about God you don't know? Is there something about yourself you just lack in faith? That's all right to have doubts. It's natural to doubt things. It's even natural to doubt God. There's nothing wrong with that. All throughout the history of God's creation, you can see throughout the Bible written how His people doubted things, and He revealed Himself to them over and over again. Over and over again. Over and over again. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not deficient. You're not defective if you doubt God at times. But if you continually doubt and can't get over it, or can't get beyond that, then something is wrong. You have a stumbling block before you that you need to have removed. You need to have God remove it. And what do you need to do about that? You need to pray. You need to pray until it's gone. You need to look into Scripture and see, why is this here? What am I seeing? What is the situation in front of me? Why do I doubt this? What is the enemy doing to me? Why am I allowing this to continue? There's a phrase I like to use. When I have a problem with me, who better to go to than the one who created me? Because he knows better how to handle my issues than anyone, because he knows how I'm wired. He knows how he made me. He knows what's going to fix me best. Let me ask you this. If you got a problem with your car and it's a Ford, do you go to the Chevy dealership or do you go down to Lewis? Sorry, Lewis. Threw you under the bus. Oh, I know. That's the wonderful thing about Lewis. He doesn't just know Fords. He knows a lot of other cars, too. Well, let me ask you. If you got a problem with a TV, do you take it to a computer store to fix it? Sometimes. This guy may tell you to bring it in. I'll try. I'll give it my best shot. Can't guarantee you nothing, but I'll give it my best shot. I can't guarantee you ain't going to be any worse off than you were before. Are you? The TV wasn't working when you brought it in now, was it? Now, is that the kind of confidence you want to have in the person working on you? Do you want to go to somebody like that? Or do you want to go to God that says, I know exactly what to do. I know exactly how to fix you. Or do you want to go to somebody who says, you know what, I don't know what's wrong with you, but you know what, I'll give you my best shot. And you're not going to be any worse off than you were before. Because, I mean, you're a mess now. Sounds like a joke to me. Fact of the matter is, there are a lot of people out there searching for answers in other places than where the real answers are found. There are a lot of people searching in self-help books, a lot of people searching in false religions, trying to find the true meaning to life, the real answers about meaning and life issues in other places than in God. And what are they doing? They're getting their life so messed up, so totally wrecked, that they are a shell of who they were before they went there when they come out. And they think they're happy because they follow this ritual, this schedule. But if they deviate from these things, everything breaks apart. Everything falls a fluster. That's the one thing I love about God. He doesn't give you a ritual. He doesn't give you a schedule. He says, my life is a life of blessing. My life is a life of abundance. Jesus said, I came to give you life and that life more abundant. I don't ask you to fall on your knees and pray every so many times a day and face a certain direction. I don't ask you to make any pilgrimages to somewhere. I just ask you that you love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I don't ask that you give so many thousands of dollars to me so that you may scale the heights of whatever and achieve higher and higher in this whatever religion you might want to call it. I don't ask you to do that. I don't ask you for anything except for your love. And if you need anything, if you want anything from me, just pray, and I will be more than happy to give it to you. Now, children, hear me and hear me well. I'm a father who loves you, he says. And I'm not going to have a bunch of spoiled brats running around on me. Which means I give, and yes, I give liberally, but I only give when my will says it's right. And I only give when I know the person can handle the responsibility they have. If you haven't grown to a point of knowing that me knowing you can handle it, then I'm not going to give it to you yet. When you grow to that point, I will give it to you, yes. But don't think it's me being mean. It's me saving you from yourself. I want you to have everything that you deserve, that you can handle. I want you to have more than you would ever have on your own. And I want you to have peace on top of all that. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says this: Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We've used this scripture earlier in this series. Don't be anxious about anything. Be anxious about nothing. God says, hey, if you got me on your team, if you've got me as your main man, you've got me as the one calling the shots in your life, don't be anxious about anything. Something comes up in your life, hey, take a step back, look around, and pray. And let me take care of it before you rush in and get yourself into a bind. But in everything, by prayer and petition, by prayer, we've gone over prayer. Prayer is the acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, adoration. God, I praise you for who you are. I love you. You are wonderful. Thanksgiving, I thank you for all you've done for me. Lord, I am so much better off with you than I would ever be by myself. Thanksgiving, confession. I've skipped confession. Well, some days you can do that. Lord, if there be any evil way in me, let me see it. Or, Lord, I did this today and I know I shouldn't have, but I feel really terrible about it. Can you just forgive me? Supplication. Lord, you know, that kid Dustin, man, I feel really blessed to have a daughter who's 11 years old and hasn't really had any major health problems. And to see this kid, 12 years old, going through all this really hurts me. Can you just give him a little bit of hope? Can you relieve his pain even for just one day? For me? Just do that for me. Petition. Bring your petitions to the Lord. That means, you know what? That day it didn't get answered. The next day, bring it to Him. The next day it didn't get answered. Bring it to Him again. The next day it didn't get answered. Bring it to Him again. That may be God telling you to wait. That may be God telling you no. But until you get a clear answer from God, telling you, back off, telling you, keep praying, telling you, it's going to come soon, keep praying. Keep bringing your petition to Him. Keep bringing it. Keep going. Keep knocking it down. Just like the widow, the parable of the widow to the wicked king, just got totally just nagged by this woman and finally said, fine, I'll finally do it for you. And Jesus said, how much more will your heavenly Father do what you need when He loves you? When this king, who couldn't stand this woman, did what he did for her because she kept on coming to him. So, with thanksgiving. Never, never allow yourself to get so jaded, so hurt by what's going on in your life, to allow your prayers to be coated in an air of sarcasm or an air of, God, you know what? You're going to do what you want to do anyway. But always have that thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for what you are doing. And Lord, I thank you that whatever is going on and whatever is going to happen in this situation, that it is a lesson for us all to learn from. Sure, it's not a pleasant lesson at times, but it is still something to learn from. Whether it is a faith-growing experience for someone or a family, or whether it is a time to make a family draw even closer to God than they were before, because they may have been on the fringes. And because of a tragedy in their life, they were drawn closer back to him. He didn't cause it to happen. He didn't even necessarily allow it to happen, but because of the sinful world we live in, things happen like that. And God used that situation to strengthen the faith in a family. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's the key. If you can do what verse 6 says and do it properly, it's not like it's a formula or anything. It's just a model. But then there's the promise in verse 7. God's promise is that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, even in the midst of the worst things in your life, if you can be in prayer about it, not being anxious, but in prayer with thanksgiving, God will give you a peace about it, a peace about the situation, a peace about what's going on in your life. A piece about maybe the worst situation you've ever had to deal with in your life. You can't understand it because even God says, this is a piece that will transcend all understanding. And it will guard your hearts and your minds. It will guard your heart from the attacks of the enemy. It will guard your minds from his ideas coming in and creeping in. It will guard your minds from yourself. And the doubts that may come about. Why? Because Christ Jesus will be your blocker. He'll be your fullback. He'll stand in front of you and say, not today. No, this one's mine. They're mine. You're not going to get them. You can try, but you know better. You've dealt with me before. And you know how hard I hit. If you want to, come on. Bring it on. Peace, placing everything into the Almighty's care expectantly. Why do I say expectantly? Because you can expect it to come. When you give it to him, you can expect it to happen. When you give it to him, it will happen. It will come. It will be yours. No ifs, ands, or buts.